in the year 2015 from the birth of Abraham, in the year 1510 from the exodus of the people of Israel out of Egypt, in the year 1032 from the enthronement of David the prophet and king, in the 60th week of the prophecy of Daniel, in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Augustus, in the 33rd year of the reign of Herod, when the staff had gone from Judah, as had been prophesied by Jacob, the patriarch, at a time when the whole world was at peace, it pleased God to send his only begotten Son and eternal Word to the world to become man and to teach us God's love, to suffer, die, and rise from the dead for our salvation. At that time, the Lord Jesus was born in humble Bethlehem of Judah, and no one knew of it but the Virgin Mary, his mother, and Joseph, her spouse. No one heard of this miracle, surpassing all miracles, but a few humble shepherds who had been told by angels in the sky that sang this hymn, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Then the Magi came from the east, led by a star in the heaven. They found their way to where the divine infant rested, and they adored him, and opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. To God incarnate, to the suckling infant who humbled himself and took our form, becoming a child of man to make children of God, to the one who later walked among us to teach us the way of salvation, and who loved us so much as to give his life for it. To him be glory, honor, and adoration forever and ever. O come, let us worship him.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor.
Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Forever shall be, world will. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you.
Why do the nations rage?
And the peoples plot in vain.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together.
Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
let us burst their bonds apart
and cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens laughs.
The Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath
and terrify them in his fury, saying,
as for me, I have set my king
on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage,
and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron,
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the first chapter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, When he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you and the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Son of God, begotten of his Father. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is our text. These are some of the most amazing words ever written in human language. The Word became flesh. God became man. In Latin, homo factus est. He is made man. How can we possibly grasp this mystery? The immortal God has made himself mortal, capable of dying. The one who is eternal has entered time. The transcendent has become part of his creation. And given that God became man, how should we respond? What response is fitting for us as human beings? When I think about what the Gospel of John tells us, I can't help but think about other ancient texts and comparisons. The Word didn't become a myth or a story or a fable. This isn't like all those old stories about gods and goddesses, Zeus and Hera and Athena and Apollo. If you know your Greek mythology, you might recall that those kinds of gods in the stories, they pulled all sorts of shenanigans. They pursued their lusts. They sought revenge. They were powerful, but petty. They acted more like kingpins or mob bosses or tyrants. They did whatever they wanted. They took whatever they desired. In those stories, the gods came down not to serve, oh, certainly not, but to be served. God became man. For real. This isn't a once upon a time, and it didn't take place in a galaxy far, far away. We know the time, and we know the place. It happened in the days of Caesar Augustus, and it took place in Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. There's real flesh here, real blood here. Real muscles and tendons joined to bones, forming a skeleton covered with real skin and real heart, real lungs, real everything. In him was life, breath, mind, soul, will, desire, and all the rest. Like us, it says in the scriptures. Like us in every way, with one exception. When the Word became flesh, he had no sin. He was what Adam and Eve were in the beginning. He was what humanity was meant to be. He was in the flesh what we will be through him by grace when he raises us from the dead on the last day. You see, God came in the flesh because he saw what needed to be done. And when he saw what needed to be done, he realized that this was something that no angel could do. He realized that no prophet, no priest, no king could handle it. He knew that he had to do it. He knew also that it had to be done in the flesh. He sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to the world himself he came. God sent his Son, the Logos, the eternal Word, to be born of Mary. And that moment is the moment that changes everything for the history of the world, the universe, and for you and me. That is the moment when everything that sin and death had brought begins to be undone. The Word made man in the beginning, but he already knew that one day he would become man. When he created time, he did it with the knowledge that he would enter time, that he would really enter it, that he would do more than just stick his finger in and stir things about with a miracle here or there. He plunged in head first. That's what he did. Plunged into sin and death and suffering and battle with the devil head first. In the beginning, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in the fullness of time, the Word became flesh. It's as if you were to enter your own creation, as if you were to step into your own painting, or jump into the pages of your own story, or become the notes of your own composition. Or thinking about my household, it might be as if you were to enter the magical world made out of Play-Doh and blocks and Legos and construction equipment, and be able to walk around inside of it and be part of it. And as if you were to do that because that was the only way to set right something that had gone wrong, because the painting had become spoiled, or the story had taken a terrible turn, or the music was filled with dissonance, and the only way to set it right was for you to get in there and do it yourself. The Word became flesh. Not a hologram, not an avatar, not just appearing to be flesh. God didn't just adopt a man and give him divine titles. God, the Word, really became flesh in such a way that he could look people in the eye, he could wear a smile, shed a tear, had cuts that bled, and suffer true pain. A real flesh and blood man. Because he knows what you're going through, what you've been through, what life in this fallen world is like, and he didn't want to leave us as it is. That's what he had to do for us men and for our salvation. And this is so crucial that Christians from the earliest days have recognized that if you lose this, you lose everything. Every heresy, every false teaching touches Jesus in some way. There were some who said that Jesus was really God, but he wasn't really fully man. There were others who said he's really man, but he's not really God. Either way, salvation is at stake. Because if he didn't become man, how could he possibly save us? And if he wasn't God, how in the world would it be enough to save all of us? But this is what he did. God became man. He entered the story. He wrote himself into the music. He put himself in the painting. And why? Why would he do that? It was out of love. Because in his love, he saw our need and he saw the darkness. And he was not content to leave us in sin and suffering and death. And he was not content to let us sit in darkness, and he was not content to let his creation be stolen or wrecked. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling, our lost and fallen race. It is a remarkable thing that we celebrate today. And I think that we have hardly even begun to grasp the depth of this mystery and the joy and the love that God has for each and every one of us. A love that sent him into this life to live a perfect life in our place as our substitute. And a love that sent him into death to die the full death under the weight of sin and the wrath of God, that we might not have to face that ourselves. Dear friends, we stake our lives on this, that God became man. And even more, he staked his love on it as well. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal sake. How do we respond to the incarnation? What is fitting but to bend our knees and bow our heads and sing his praises and receive his gifts and return to him our thanks and give him our lives so that he can take our lives, our flesh, and our blood and make them his and use them for his purposes and one day raise them again to a life that will never end. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, the eternal Word, has become flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Extend his praise into all the world, that with us many would come to hope in his steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, send forth pastors to publish your peace and bring us your good news of happiness. Keep them faithful to declare your gracious reign in Christ. Bless the work of missionaries at home and abroad, that all the ends of the earth may see your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, as our families gather in this holy season, give us patience, that we may be slow to judge and quick to forgive. Comfort the lonely with your presence, and help us extend the welcome of our homes and the friendship of your grace. Make us mindful of those less fortunate who celebrate this blessed feast in poverty and want, and teach us to be generous. Accept with our offerings the living sacrifice of our bodies to your service and our voices in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son upholds the universe by the word of his power. Grant our nation to walk humbly before you. Bless our soldiers who stand watch this day. Keep them in safety as they serve us and uphold their families while they are apart. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, watch over us and our loved ones, preserving us in body and soul. Guard and keep all who are sick, lonely, overwhelmed by grief, or poor in spirit.
especially Diane, Marilyn, Jared, Donna, Judy, Rose Marie, Joyce, Emily, Tiffany, Stan, and John, as well as our homebound Donna, Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Joan, Jeanette, and Andrea, that they may be comforted, healed, and upheld according to your good and gracious will. Let them look to Jesus Christ and be reminded that he is the light no darkness can overcome. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
Grant that we may come worthily to receive the body and blood of Jesus with faith in his bodily presence for us, that we may depart with grace upon grace from his fullness. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
We thank you, Lord God, for all your people who have gone before us and now rest in your presence, including Richard, Alfred, and Ed. Keep us faithful with them until that day when you make all things new, for you live and reign with Christ and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love the things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for sending your only Son into the world, that we might become your children, and for giving us now the very body and blood born of Mary in Bethlehem to set us free from sin, death, Satan, and hell. By your Holy Spirit, keep us to the end with our Lord Jesus, that as we rejoice with angels in his birth, we may rejoice with angels in his glory, and behold him with you and the Spirit in the kingdom of the triune majesty, which has no end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.